Welcome to the Manufacturers Accountability Project Legal Landscape Podcast. I'm Lindsay Delatorre, Executive Director of the Manufacturers Accountability Project, a project of the National Association of Manufacturers, Manufacturers Center for Legal Action. We launched the MAP last year in response to the alarming trend of public nuisance lawsuits being brought against manufacturers across the country, essentially blaming manufacturers for damages related to climate change. At the end of the day, these lawsuits put all American industries on notice that they could find themselves financially responsible for a global issue far beyond their control. Today, we're launching a three-part series to address various aspects of these lawsuits, and I'm thrilled to welcome our first guest, the president of the California Manufacturers and Technology Association, Dorothy Rothrock, who has been a champion for manufacturers and a strong voice in pushing back against these baseless lawsuits. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dorothy.
Thank you, Lindsay. It's great to be here.
Dot, it would be great if you could give us an overview of CMTA and tell us a little bit about the role that you play in leading the organization.
Sure. The California Manufacturers and Technology Association celebrated our 100th year in existence this year. We started back in 1918. We represent small and large manufacturers in the state to help make sure that laws and regulations will support their growth and prosperity. So we work on all sorts of issues related to tax and energy and labor and environmental laws. And part of what we work on is to make sure that the litigation and civil justice systems are also working to protect manufacturers who are in compliance with all of our laws and regulations.
Great. And as you know well, the National Association of Manufacturers represents 14,000 companies of every kind in all 50 states and all industrial sectors of all sizes. And Dot, you know better than anyone that manufacturing is critical to the success of the economy. The sector employs more than 12 million men and women, contributes $2.25 trillion to the U.S. economy annually, and has the largest economic impact of any major sector. A recent NAM optimism survey shows that 2018 is on pace for record high manufacturer optimism. Following yet another positive employment report showing 18,000 manufacturing jobs were created in September, the NAM released the third quarter results of its Manufacturers Outlook Survey, which shows 2018 is on pace for the highest yearly reading of manufacturer optimism in the survey's 20-year history. Optimism remains exceedingly high at 92.5% following enactment of tax reform and regulatory relief, with manufacturers across the country keeping their promise to invest in workers and communities and to take the lead on environmental stewardship. The four-quarter average rose to 93.9%, the highest one-year average on record. Not to mention, projected wage growth remains at the fastest pace in 17 years. On October 5th, we celebrated Manufacturing Day, and we continue to celebrate manufacturing all month and highlight the success that we're seeing in this sector. Dot, I know you celebrated Manufacturing Day in California. Can you share some highlights of the work that manufacturers are doing to advance the interests of the sector?
Yes, we are so pleased that in California this year we had 240 manufacturers opening their doors and inviting the public, young people, parents, community members to come and visit these facilities and see what's going on behind those doors and behind those mysterious signs out on the lawn so that people really understand what manufacturing looks like in a modern day. We personally participated in events in Ventura and San Diego and here in Sacramento. So we're extremely pleased with how this program has been growing over the years.
Fantastic. You know, while all of this optimism and growth is great news for the sector, unfortunately, as you know well, we're seeing a trend of baseless lawsuits that threaten this success. Dot, you know, we were fortunate enough to sit on a panel together in California talking about these issues with mayors. And to date, 15 municipalities have filed public nuisance suits against manufacturers related to climate change, including in California, Colorado, New York City, Washington State, Rhode Island, and most recently in Baltimore. And to set the stage in California, to date, eight municipalities have brought these types of suits. The good news is that two of them have been dismissed, which I know you have been in the trenches on these cases. Dot, how do manufacturers in California feel about these lawsuits, and what impact might they have on the success that you're seeing?
One of the key pieces to remember when we're talking about these suits is that the allegations against the companies isn't that they violated any laws or regulations. It's that over the last decade, 10, 20, 30, 40, maybe 100 years, there's been industrial or market behavior that somebody's decided today they don't like. But all during the history, it's been legal and, in fact, encouraged. And what makes these suits so disappointing is that manufacturers are being subjected to them by law firms who are in it for the money, not necessarily a solution to a societal problem. One of the issues with the climate change public nuisance is that there isn't any disagreement really anymore that we do need to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels and that they do contribute to climate change. So that's not the debate. The debate is how do we solve the problem and what role do the energy companies have in that solution? We don't think it's that they need to be sued in court for huge amounts of money where a big paycheck is going to go to private lawyers.
And I think, you know, to your point, manufacturers are working towards real solutions and have pioneered new strategies and technologies to reduce emissions. And manufacturers are continuing to invest in technology and innovation. And I think, you know, these are the right strategies to improve our environment, not baseless lawsuits, to your point. Can you share with us some of the things that manufacturers in California are doing in terms of technology and innovation that have a positive impact on the environment?
Yes, in California, we've been very active in addressing greenhouse gas emissions actually for many, many years. We're very energy efficient as companies here in the state. We pay relatively high energy costs here for electricity as well as transportation fuels. We also have a policy in the state to reduce our greenhouse gases over time to finally reach very, very low levels by 2030 is the current law in effect. So we have pressures on manufacturers already, and we are doing our darndest to make sure that the technologies and the processes are available so that the companies can meet those goals and also stay in business and prosper in California. It's a huge challenge, and the legislature is who took charge of it. It was not a court that ordered this. It was the legislature, it was elected officials, and they did the balancing act that was necessary to make sure the policy made sense.
And to take a step back, you know, these cases, in sort of looking at the legal aspect, these cases are being brought on the theory of public nuisance. And, you know, at the end of the day, the fundamentals of public nuisance law require that the defendant control what is alleged to be the nuisance, that the plaintiff prove that such activity specifically caused the claimed injury, and that the alleged nuisance provided little or no public value. And in these cases, none of these elements are met. The reality is that the government bringing these suits cannot show any specific company's emissions caused specific damage. We know this is a global issue, and not to mention, to your point earlier, Dot, that, you know, energy manufacturers provide considerable benefits to society. And the good news is that these cases have repeatedly failed in court, including a Supreme Court case, AEP versus Connecticut, where the Supreme Court decided that in a decision written by Ruth Bader Ginsburg that determined that the Clean Air Act preempts these cases, these claims, I'm sorry. And, you know, more recently, U.S. District Judge Alsup in California ruled in favor of the dismissal of the San Francisco and Oakland cases. And in his dismissal, he stated that no plaintiff has ever succeeded in bringing a nuisance claim based on global warming. And he also said that, quote, without those fuels, virtually all of our monumental progress would have been impossible. All of us have benefited. Having reaped the benefit of that historic progress, would it really be fair to now ignore our own responsibility in the use of fossil fuels and place the blame for global warming on those who supplied what we demanded? Don, I'd love to hear your thoughts on his opinion. And, you know, what do you think other municipalities and trial attorneys, why do you think they continue to file these types of suits, given the dismissals in California and also the dismissal in New York City?
His opinion was really extraordinary because he took on the entire issue rather than narrowing it to, you know, perhaps a specific piece of legalese. He essentially said, I am not the right person to make these kinds of determinations, nor can these energy companies, the few of whom were sued in the case. They're not responsible for all of the climate change that's happening from all of the emissions happening around the world. That's actually not even a federal issue. It's an international issue. And is a court in California going to make that determination? It really was a ludicrous premise, and he did a really good job of expressing how wrong-headed it is. The benefits of fuel consumption are without question. And so if we want to look at public nuisance and weighing against the benefits of the utility, is what they say in the law about the product in question, the utility of fuel, without question, huge. So again, you're right about how weak the cases are. Now, why they continue to be brought is something I mentioned earlier, and that is that the law firms that stand to gain the most from these suits are private attorneys. These are not public attorneys that are hired by your local governments. These are private attorneys that are going to local governments and saying, hey, maybe we can get you a bunch of money, but you know what? And you don't have to pay us unless you get a win. But what we may receive is 23% of the damages. So they're looking for a big payday, and that's why they keep bringing the suits. And they will keep bringing the suits so long as local governments allow them to.
And what would your message be to other municipalities that are considering filing these types of cases?
Yeah. I think that the local governments need to realize what it looks like when you're a manufacturer, either in the community or considering expanding or growing in a particular community. When a local government takes these kinds of suits and decides that they want to hold manufacturers responsible in this kind of a way for this kind of public nuisance, that sends a message to the manufacturer that this is not a very friendly place to do this. Is this a place where I want to put a huge amount of risk capital to work? Do I want to expand here? Do I want to have a 20-30 year experience in this community? I think maybe I'll look for a place that's a little more friendly, a little more regulatorily sensible. And I think that communities are putting themselves at risk for their economies if they take on these kinds of claims.
And I think, you know, as we've discussed before, a lot of these municipalities in their bond offerings say something quite different than they say in their lawsuits. And I think that's been something troubling that we've uncovered, that there are discrepancies there. And so these municipalities, you know, should think twice before filing these types of suits, because there have been discrepancies in the damages that they claim are certain in their lawsuits. They, you know, have not disclosed in their bond offerings. So, you know, there's a lot of issues that are troubling around these cases. And I think, you know, we discussed that in our panel in California. Mayors have come forward in California. We worked with great mayors, you know, in Southern California, as well as we've worked very closely with state attorneys general from around the country that are really pushing back on these cases, saying that, you know, the courts are not the proper venue to address this. It's for the legislative and executive branches to address this issue.
And you're absolutely right. There's some other kinds of public nuisance claims that do create other kinds of risks for the local governments as well, because as a defendant in one of these lawsuits, you've got counterclaim opportunities that could go against the local government. If going to court and asking for billions of dollars is not something that should be undertaken lightly, and if it's considered to be frivolous, then a court could assess costs against plaintiffs that come into a court for the frivolous claim.
Dot, as a voice for manufacturers, what do you hope to accomplish going forward broadly? I know you've had a lot of success in California. We're sad to see you retiring, but you know, what are your hopes looking forward for manufacturers in California?
What I really feel optimistic about, Lindsay, is that the public really does support manufacturing. And for a long while, that wasn't really clear that the economy here was in support of manufacturing. It was considered, you know, these smokestacks and, you know, environmentally dirty and boring, you know, not a great place to work, et cetera. And I hate to even say that now, because it's not only is it not true, it's the opposite. And I think Manufacturing Day is an example of a way to highlight this and display it publicly. But the new manufacturing that is prospering in California and in other places in the country is so different than it was 20 or 30 years ago. And there's so many opportunities, and it's so interesting, and it's so high-tech and cutting-edge that everybody should want a manufacturer in their community if they don't already have one. And if they have one, they certainly don't want them to go away. They want them to grow. So I feel very optimistic that we're in a good position to sell ourselves and make ourselves something in demand in these communities. And it really does highlight the difference between this public nuisance litigation and how much we support manufacturing. It's like, why do we want to hurt this part of our economy like this?
Well, thank you so much, Dot, for your service to manufacturers and for taking the time to join us for this podcast. Your insights are invaluable, and we really appreciate you taking the time.
It was great to be here. Thank you so much for what you do.
And, you know, at the NAM and through this project, we want to be part of the solution, you know, as we've discussed, both in ending this troubling trend and in addressing environmental concerns. And these lawsuits, as we've discussed today, solve nothing and only hurt the legal system. At the end of the day, these lawsuits don't help workers, families, or the environment. And I would encourage the listeners to get more information on our project. Visit our website at www.mfgaccountabilityproject.org. Thanks so much for joining.